The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
Praise God. How many feel that there is destiny in the house? Do you feel that? I feel like there's destiny. Some of you may not know what I'm talking about when I say that, but purpose, God's destiny, God's plan for our life. And Minister Troy mentioned that we're going to be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We're engaging in 3 days of understanding how to put the enemy at our feet in regards to our finances. You say, well, why is that important? Did you know 95% of divorces in America are as a result of financial stress and pressure, not adultery? It's money. And you know what also will quench the anointing of God? You know, you may want to have a revival personally in the spirit, and you're pressing in on God, but you're thinking, how am I going to pay my bills? And you know, the devil will steal that presence away from you quicker than anything when you're under financial stress and pressure. But that's why God has sent to us a champion in the financial area, and that's Bob Rickey and his wife Maria. We're going to be back tonight for a special session at 6 p.m. Folks, don't miss it. It's going to minister to you. It'll change your life. It'll change your households. Because not only is he an anointed man of God with a word in his belly that will bring freedom and liberty to us prophetically, but he also is prepared in the realm of education. Listen to this. He has a bachelor's and master's degree in financial management. He holds also professional designations of a certified public accountant and a certified financial planner. And he goes all over the world ministering freedom to God's people. I think that it is time for Northeastern Ohio to have freedom financially. You know, oftentimes as I look over the budget and I think, okay, God, how come there's not enough cash to meet the need? And you know what I keep hearing in my spirit? My people are in slavery and I want to set them free. I believe this weekend we're going to get set free. So this morning, tonight at 6, and tomorrow at 7, if you're serious about changing your future and the future of this ministry and the kingdom of God, then I want to challenge you to be a part of this great weekend of meetings. Ladies and gentlemen, stand up on your feet as I present to you today, here at Church on the North Coast, not a stranger, Brother Bob Rickey. God bless you.
All right. Hey, let's give Jesus a really big hand if he's done something for you. Amen. Hey, let's give Jesus a really big hand. Woo! And now, if you think it's time for a breakthrough in your finances and in life, let's give Jesus a really big shout of hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Turn around, high five a few people. And tell them, get ready. It's time for you to grow up. Well, we're excited to be back here on the North Coast. And I believe we're on assignment. And I was telling the gentleman who picked us up and your pastor this morning. And it's just an honor. I just really look up to your pastors. I just think they're just classy, loving people. Amen. Let's give God a big hand for that. Yeah. And I really feel like since I was here in March and now we're back, it's like 6 months, something's happened here. What are you guys all praying or something? What are you guys praying? Yes. Something's happening. It feels like a real solidification. I'm not just saying this. It really feels like a solidification, like things have been strengthened, have come together, a foundation. And it's ready to just lift off. And when God wants to do that, he prepares his people for what he wants to do. And as pastors mentioned, you have a destiny. You have a promise in God. When you're born, God put a purpose in you. God put a destiny in you. And God wants you to live it out. God wants you to have that. Now, we have to co-labor with Christ to make our destiny a reality. Just because God wants you to have a good plan and you agree that you're going to have a good plan doesn't mean you're going to have a good life. There's things you have to do. How many folks know that's true? So we want to, because God's preparing to do something. I really feel that, especially economically. Oh, you'll say, well, you know, this is Ohio and it's a little more depressed economically. Good. I don't know if that's true. I don't buy that. And but I also know that that's where God likes to show up and show off. How many folks know that's true? He likes to show up and show off. Now, the key is he needs a people that have built a capacity and the abilities to do what's necessary when he wants to show up and show off. For instance, he wanted to show up and show off with the children of Israel. He took them out of bondage, out of slavery, and he wanted to take that generation into their promised land. He was ready to show up. He showed off, but the people show enough didn't get in. Right? They weren't ready. They weren't prepared. But God got the next generation. Now, people say, well, the will of God will always be done. That's true generally. It's true corporately, but not individually. Corporately, the will of God will get done. For those people, God was going to take a prepared people in to possess the promised land. That was God's will. He got his will done. It just didn't happen with the first generation. He wanted it to happen with the first generation, but they weren't prepared mentally, physically, to do what's necessary to possess the promised land. So God's will got done corporately. He took a people into the promised land, but it did not get done individually because those folks over 20 did not get into the promised land. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I want to get done individually what God's called me to get done. Is that right? Is that okay? So we're here to help you. I believe I'm on assignment. I know this thing's Pastor was sharing some of the wonderful breakthrough you've gotten in the spirit this past few weeks. And I believe that it's not coincidence that we're here with a word on how to help you become financial champions. Three meetings this morning, tonight, and tomorrow night. And how many folks have prayed anything over their finances in the last 6 months to you? Okay. God says an answer. It doesn't always look the way you want it to look like. I believe we're part of your answer. That tonight and tomorrow night is part of your answer. Now, what you have to do is shift some of your thinking. Well, I already went to church once today. You want me to come back again? Well, that's up to you. Okay, if you feel there's something at home that'll help you elevate in your area of finances better, that's good. But watching a movie or watching a football game is not going to do it. I love sports. But that's why God put the important football game this week tomorrow night when the Eagles play. Y'all with me on this? No, I don't care. I mean, I'm into sports. I like to yell and scream. My favorite TV show is NFL Primetime when they go through all the highlights. So, I mean, I'm into it. But you know, the reality of sports is, especially professional sports and probably college sports too, but professional sports is just one group of millionaires playing against another group of millionaires. Yeah. And then we get all passionate about our color millionaires. Like in my color, it'd be green and silver. For you guys, it'd be orange and brown, right? So our millionaires are going to play their millionaires. But guess what? Your millionaires in orange and brown, they would wear green and silver if they could get more money. How many folk know that's true? See, so we're passionate about the Eagles because the Eagles were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and where I was preaching, I said, Pastor, you got to understand, I've watched about 500 games, and now they finally made the Super Bowl. And because he wanted to have a big party to watch a game. It was in Hawaii, so it was only at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because I was preaching that night. I said, well, only invite people that understand that the preacher is normal, because I'm going to be yelling at the television. Y'all with me on this? So the point is you got one group of millionaires against another. And I heard early in my business career that most people sit around watching other folks chase their destiny and don't invest into their own destiny. The average American watches 6 hours of television, watching actors and actresses pursuing their destiny. I went to a church right outside Beverly Hills, lived right out there. Half the church was in the industry. I'd see my friends making commercials. I'd call them from South America and say, hey, I saw your TV show down here. You did pretty good. He goes, which one? He goes, I didn't watch it. We never watch those things. We just act, get paid, and go on. This is what he said. He goes, I don't have time to watch television. I got to go develop my career and do some things. So, and sports, same thing. So tonight, invest in yourself. I know the Browns are on at 4 o'clock. But invest in yourself. Say, listen, pardon me, but I'm going to go to my destiny. Does that make some sense? Because a lot of times God will test us. Say, how serious are you about your finances? How serious are you about making a change? Well, I would make the change, Jesus, but you know, got to go watch the game. Y'all with me on this? So come and invest in yourself. Your future is more important than anybody else's future. Isn't that right? So tonight and then tomorrow night. And what I want to give you is the tools of dominion. The tools of dominion. We were talking, Pastor and I were talking, people have built their faith to believe God wants to prosper. How many people know that God wants you to prosper? All right. But the problem is a lot of folks aren't prospering. Because we believe that God wants us to, but we haven't equipped ourselves or learned how to prosper. See, it's not enough to believe God wants you to prosper. It's not enough. You know that's true. You got to have faith to believe God wants you to prosper, but then you got to have faith to go possess the prosperity. All right, my wife agrees and pastor agrees. All right, y'all with me on this? So let me just help you. Let me get right into my message. And my wife's here. Honey, stand up. Wave to all the nice people so they know you're here. Come on. How many people were here in March when I preached? Raise your hand. All right, you came back. Thanks. All right, now. So we'll have a good time. Open your Bibles to Matthew 11, 12. I just want to get right into the message. We'll talk about our stuff that can help you later on. But we just really want to help you today. Three, the Bible says a three-strand cord is not easily broken. So this morning, then tonight at 6, we'll shoot to get done at 7:30, but no later than 8. We'll be praying for folks, but you'll be home, TiVo the game or whatever, but seriously, we'll get you out. We know you got more to do than, you know, you got kids to get to school tomorrow. So we'll go shoot 6 to 7:30, maybe 7:45 the latest. Get you out. And then tomorrow we'll go 7 to 9, two 45-minute sessions with a break. Invest in yourself. Matthew 11, 12. Jesus is talking. It's in red. He says, Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your kingdom, that the kingdom of heaven is here, that it's in us and through us into the nations. So, Lord, we come before you today boldly and confidently, boldly because we know who our Father is, who loves us and accepts us, and confident because we know that we are sons and daughters of the living God. We thank you for who you are. We come boldly because of your nature, and we come confidently because of the new nature you put in us. So, Father, we ask for a touch. People have had some tough weeks. People have had some challenging weeks. And we thank you for that beautiful worship that touched us in our hearts, God. And we pray this word would bring comfort to people. But we pray, too, that it would also challenge us, to help us change, to give us the courage to make the necessary changes, to take the territory for you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew 11, 12. Is talking. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent do what? Yeah, we're talking about taking it by force. Jesus is making an observation here. He's making an evaluation. He's saying there's some folks who get the kingdom of heaven in their life, and there's some folks that don't. He's saying there's some folks that make the kingdom of heaven happen in their life, in their family, in their home, in their money, in their soul, in their emotions, and there's folks who don't get to make it happen. And it's his will that we have the kingdom of heaven in our life. Because he said, when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I can expect to have the kingdom of heaven manifest in every area of my life. In my mind, I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Doesn't mean the storm's not going to be there, but in the midst of it, I can have peace. Come on, I can have joy in my emotions. I can have healing in my body. I can have money in my pocket. I can have communication in my marriage. I can have a kingdom of heaven because he said we could pray it. Jesus would not tell us to pray something that cannot happen. He's not in the games. But it's going to take work to make the kingdom of heaven manifest. What is the kingdom of heaven? Now, corporately, the kingdom of heaven is having a great church like this, where you're doing things corporately, expanding the kingdom of God, getting people saved. I love that video that they made. Just very simple shows you what happens when you give finances to the kingdom of God. I mean, but lives are being changed. How many people's lives are better from what something you learned here at Church of the North Coast? That's you. Give God a big hand for that right now. Yeah. And that'd be great. No, that's fine. Is this mine? Oh, that's good. It's halfway done. I'm there like, okay, I hope they holy. Not someone I was drinking down there. That's why. It's the right one. It's the right one. Everybody cool with that? It's the right. No, it's fine. It's fine. No, that was the one I had during worship. That's why it's half empty. That's why. Just making sure. You okay with that? See, Jesus said we can have the kingdom of heaven. But he's making an observation. He's saying there's some folks who get it and some folks that don't. And what is the word take it by force? So corporately, it's the expansion of the kingdom. Getting people saved, getting families together, getting children protected, building youth centers, taking new territory. But individually, there's the kingdom of heaven. It's the promises of God for your life. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Your righteousness is a right standing before God. When you become born again, you have right standing with God. All your sins have been removed. You stand before God, spotless, blameless, beyond reproach, as if you've never sinned. I stand before God the same way Jesus stands before God, pure, innocent. Okay? That's righteousness, peace, and joy. I have no shame. Jesus took all my shame. Have we done things that the world would call shameful? Yes, we have, but Jesus, take my shame. So I can live without shame in my mind, in my emotions, in my heart. Now, how many folks know that takes work? That takes work, all right? Righteousness, peace, and joy. It takes work to have the peace of God in your life sometime. God's not holding back the peace, but we get in the way of the peace. Come on. If you just keep your mind focused on God, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on God. Right? But when my mind's fixed on the problem, when I'm talking the problem, rehearsing the problem, nursing the problem, cursing the problem, I'm going to have no peace. But God's not holding back the peace. We blocking the flow. How many folks know that's true? Oh, we want to blame the devil, but the reality of life, the biggest problem in my life is me. Most of the problems in my life, and if you're like me, in your life have been created by you. We like to blame the devil. We like to blame other people. But the reality of it is wrong choices. We listen to the wrong voices. We made the wrong choices. Come on. Lack of knowledge in an area. We made bad decisions. Bad associations. We let influence us. We made bad choices. Isn't this right? So we want to do this. The kingdom of heaven. Some people take it by force. Now, the people that take it by force, that word violent, doesn't mean hitting folks, okay? It doesn't mean hitting people. It means to be tenacious, to be single-minded, to push through obstacles, to be extreme in their pursuit. Jesus is saying, those who get the kingdom of God promised, it means not to be lackadaisical. A lot of the church folks, lackadaisical. Come on, expecting God. Come to church once or twice a month and come up for a five-minute prayer and expect a whole life to change. Not changing their thinking, not changing their attitude, not changing their habits. Still keeping the same friends that are keeping you mediocre and bound up. People that aren't lackadaisical are serious about seeing God manifest in their life and into their community. So that's what I want to talk to. I call this big boy Christianity. Turn to Matthew 25. Big boy, big girl Christianity. How many folks are tired of little boy and little girl Christianity? I like to listen to sports radio sometime. And in the morning when I go to Starbucks and go pick up some things, and there's a guy on ESPN radio that I think is pretty funny. And it doesn't seem angry. He seems funny. So, but he talks about, he calls it big boy sports radio. This is big boy sports radio. We don't sugarcoat it. We talk about things that are real. And I like that. How many folks like big boy and big girl? Just give it to me the way it really is. And this is big boy Christianity. And I even got a scripture for that too. I don't know if the guys, I gave it to them. But Galatians 4:1 says, as long as a child remains a child, he's going to have servants. I mean, he's going to be under guardians. You guys are quick. Now, I say that as an heir, as long as he is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he's a master at all. Go ahead, next scripture, if I gave it to you. But is under guardians and stewards in the time appointed by the Father. It says, as long as a child remains a child, he's going to need folks to hold his hand, wipe his nose, change his diaper. He's not going to be given any responsibility because he can't handle it. Until the appointed time of the Father. Now that appointed time is a time of maturity. It's not a designated time on the calendar. It says when you get old enough, just because you're 16 doesn't mean I'm going to give you the keys to the car until you show me you can handle the car. Does this make some sense? So let's talk about this. Because Jesus wants you to have increase and he wants you to have receiving. But let's see what Jesus said it, because nobody knows it better than Jesus. Matthew 25:14, the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his good to them. All right, let's jump down all the way to verse 31. So I want to build something here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, 25:31, and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before them, and he will separate them, the sheep and the goats, verse 33. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And verse 34, he will say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. And then he tells him why. I'm going to go through this quickly. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. You're familiar with these scriptures. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And they said, Lord, when did we do this? Verse 37, verse 38, he says, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And then to the others he'll say, depart me, you cursed. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. Thirsty and you did not feed me. Stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. And they said, Lord, when did we do this? He said, inasmuch as you did not do it from the least of these. This is, everybody would say this is true Christianity. There's other sides of Christianity, worshiping God. But this is true Christianity. This is what we're called to do. Feed people. Clothe people. Give the drink to the thirsty. Now, this is not just physical. We're supposed to do it physical, but we're supposed to do it spiritual. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, when you give your tithes and offerings, you are helping doing this. There's people that are thirsty for what you're learning in this church. Come on. There's people that are hungry for the things. The world is hungry for spiritual things, but the church hasn't been telling them stuff. But this church has. You look at the bestsellers. I mean, we have a couple in there, right? With Pastor Osteen and Pastor Warren. We got a couple books in there that are telling folks truth. But there's a lot of, quote, spiritual books that aren't tapping into the right spirits that are very popular. Is that not true? Because the world's hungry. They're looking for answers. We have the answers. We get it out. And we need to clothe people. People are in prison, not just jail, but people are in prison in their mind, in their emotions. Isn't that right? In economic prison, and it's part of the church's responsibility to go do that. And Jesus says, if you don't, he considers you a goat and not a sheep to enter into the great blessings of God. And this is a very powerful scripture, but let's see where Jesus teaches us. This is the end of Jesus' teaching. It's very interesting that preceding that teaching, he's talking about finances. The purpose of kingdom finances. He says, starting in Matthew 25:14, then we'll get to 31. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man going, doing what? Traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered of his goods to them. We believe in faith. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We've been building our faith to believe God wants us to prosper. But I'm here to tell you, well, let me just say it like this. Faith is two parts. It's attitude and action. And we build our faith. That's our attitude. We believe God wants us to prosper. We believe he's his righteousness. And we believe by faith that we're going to get it and that God's a good God. How many folks believe that? That's all true. That's all true. See, so that's the attitude. But we need to add to our attitude action. James said we need to add works to what we believe. And that's what's holding back the prosperity, is that we have to have the right attitude and action. And that's what we're going to build in you tonight and tomorrow night. Tonight I'll give you simple keys on the three main obstacles, other than the ones I'm going to teach you today, that stop people from getting to their financial destiny. And it's not that complicated. We've made the two things that we should make easy in the church, healing and money, we've made too spooky. How many folks know that's true? Not your pastors, but generally speaking, you got to see 17 angels. You all with me on this? When the Bible says healing is the children's bread. I don't know. Unless you're in prison, bread just supplements the meal. Isn't that right? In prison, that's the main meal. But when you go out to eat, you get this big meal. And they say, oh, do you want bread? it comes with it. Okay, just stick it on the side. Maybe I get to it. So healing is a children's bread. It's just part of life. It's no big deal. You don't have to believe for the bread when you go out. But we've made it so spooky. Isn't that right? And money. But 90% of prayer requests are about money and healing. Family, finances, and physical. That's the 95% of the prayer requests in churches. Right? And then relationships are messed up because of money. Among other things. So we need to go possess this stuff. We need to have the right action so that we have a better attitude. To go to our attitude. So you have to know the right and the responsibility. The old church didn't teach us about the right to the money, but we have a right to the money. But some of the teaching doesn't teach us the responsibility to make it happen. It's not God's responsibility to get me blessed. It's not God's responsibility to give me a good marriage, to raise godly kids. He gave me the Holy Ghost. He gave me the Word. And now am I going to be a big boy and apply it to my life? Or am I going to sit around and wait for my daddy to do it? Y'all with me on this? Come on, you Cleveland Brown fans, you guys like it tough. Come on, I'm from Philadelphia. Philly, we always like the Browns, always cheered for the Browns, man. Because Cleveland folks are like Philly folks. Y'all with me on this? Blue collar, hardworking. Teams don't win too often, but we there. Isn't that right? 2-14, 14-12, there's still going to be 70,000 maniacs. Isn't that right? We're there. We're dog pound people. We're eagle nest people. We there. We like it tough. But we come in church, we want it wimpy. That doesn't match. All right, let's see what Jesus said. I'm going to give you some attitudes and actions here that might help you get some money. Because Jesus is talking. He says, who called his servants. Everybody say servant. Everybody say his goods. All right, and to one man he gave 5 talents, another one 2 talents, another one talent. You know the story, so I'm going fast. So 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise, he who had received 2, he gained 2. But he who had received went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So here's the story. We got 1 guy with 5, 1 guy with 2, 1 guy with 1. That's an interesting scripture because I said to the Lord, go back to verse 15. Lord, why it's a test. Why don't you give everybody the same? When you're in school, everybody gets the same questions. Isn't that right? All right. So, but the fortunate Lord answered me after I got done another one. To each according to his own ability, his own capacity. What capacity they had. The master was watching them. He was analyzing them. He had studied them. He had tested them. He says, okay, I know his capacity. I know his capacity. And I know his capacity. So if I want to receive more from the Lord, if I want to be in position to receive it, this gives me a hint. Jesus says, to him who has ears, listen. The one of the keys is I got to build my abilities. Of the better my abilities, the more God will trust me with. The more I'll be able to possess. Does this make some sense? Yeah. Well, I just want the Lord to do it. It's not his job. Well, I just believe it. Believe in what? I believe the Lord going to do it. It's not in the Bible. Each according to his own ability. So I don't have to pray for the Lord to send me more money. I need to pray to the Lord, help me build my ability. Oh, brother, that's not spiritual. It's spiritual because in the Bible, and it'll get you more money. I'm tired of stuff that folks call spiritual that doesn't work. I want stuff that's spiritual that works. God, I don't have very much ability, but where I am weak, you are strong. Come on, you will uphold me with your mighty right hand. So help me push through my flesh and my fears and my insecurities and my incapabilities to go get new wisdom, go do the things I need to do, and go possess the prosperity. That's going to get you a lot more money than, God, pour out that money. I mean, they, folks, you say, show God you have faith for the wealth transfer. I mean, like, you got to spend a lot of time telling God, if you're giving out money, I'll take some. Come on. Each according to his own ability. So one of these things tells me is action. What am I doing to build my abilities? What are you doing to build your capacity? This isn't every area of life. This isn't every area of life. I just got married about 14 months ago, 13 months ago. Before I get married, I was reading all kinds of books. You stay single until your 40s, you need to read some books. How many folks know men and women don't think the same? And I get around pastors like your pastors who look like that, who have good marriage, who actually look like they like each other. Y'all with me and somebody? And say, give me some keys. That's amazing to me how many folks, especially, that don't read books on marriage. I've been married 10 years. Well, how's it going? Well, maybe you ought to get a book. Doesn't mean you're not doing good. No, champions always study. Tiger Woods studies. He's so good he's making folks cry. They can't even get close to him, but he's always studying to get better. Is this helping anybody? Each according to his own ability. So one of the actions is build your abilities. Another one is attitude in verse 14, to be a servant and to have his goods. Servant means God's agenda above your agenda. We spend so much time studying how Jesus laid down his life to get us blessed that we don't spend a whole lot of time studying how we can lay down our life so other folks can get blessed. The old saints studied how to lay down their lives. Spurgeon and Murray, isn't that right? Oh, we needed to learn how God wanted to lay down his life so we could get blessed. But a mature son and daughter is looking to be a blessing. Isn't that right? All right, so we need to do that. So each according to his own ability. And then one went immediately, the scripture says, immediately he went. And he went and traded. Now, what is a talent? Religion will tell you it's your singing ability. It's your administrative ability. No, this is money. This is dinero. This is greenbacks. Because in other places, he called it a mina. In other places, they talk about denarii. And this is a talent. It was a measure of money. It's a historical measure of money. They called it a talent. Now, we just happen in the English language call skills and abilities talents. But it's not a talent like we use the word. Okay? Because in Spanish, they don't call it a talent. They don't use the same word that we use for skills and abilities. Right? It's a measure of money. Now, how much money was it? If you study it out, a talent is anywhere between 90 to 120 pounds. So I just use 100 because it's in the middle and it's easier to multiply. So you have 100 pounds as a talent. That's 16 ounces. That's 1,600 ounces. And gold at $400 an ounce, even though it's more than that right now. But it's closed at over $400 an ounce this week. It's a lot of money. It's like $6.4 million a talent. So he says, in other translations, in other ways of measuring it, each talent is worth 16 years of wages. So the first man gets five times that, would be 80 years of wages. The second guy gets 32 years of wages. The other guy gets trusted with 16 years of wages. Everybody says, that's a lot of money. So the one guy went immediately and traded, and so did the other guy. So here's some other keys. Here's some other keys. Immediately tells me they were prepared at once to prepare the opportunity God gave them. Question is, what are you preparing for in the realm of finances? They were prepared. They knew what to do. They went into the marketplace. And the previous scripture said that the master went away for a long journey. So it didn't happen in one day. Come on, they took time. The Bible says, he who gathers little by little will prosper. Oh no, brother, it's going to happen. Woo, I'm going to get $1 million. I believe for $1 million. Have you been able to save $1,000? No. David said, my cup runneth over. I believe everybody's cup runneth over. Question is, how big's your cup? You decide. David said, my cup. He didn't say your cup. Then said Bob's cup. David said, my cup running over. You go build your own cup. But I'm telling you what God did to me, man. God filled my cup. Question is, how big's your cup? Tonight and tomorrow night, we're going to help you build a bigger cup so God has more to pour in. Does this make some sense? See, you got folks believing God's going to give them the company they work for. Can you handle it? Your company has 40 employees. Do you know what the pressure is on that man or woman who owns that business? Three bad decisions, 40 families are economically out in the street. It only takes three bad decisions to ruin a company. You know how to manage 40 folks? I don't. I have a master's degree. I think my capacity for managing folks is about 15 or 20 folks. Somebody gave me a company with 100 employees. I keep the general manager. I double his salary. Say, come on, man, you just got a double raise. Y'all with me on this? Okay, so he immediately went. He was prepared. He was prepared. Okay, listen. The time to take music lessons is not when they have an opening on the worship team. All right, we need a new guitar player. Not that this one's great, but y'all just use it as an example. Right? Oh, I think I'll take guitar lessons. Well, then come back in 4 years. See, folks not getting prepared. What are you preparing for? I don't know. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to read the same old stupid magazines. And well, George Burns lived to 100 years old. And they said, how'd you get to be 100? He said, I think I just expected to. I find out people get what they expect and prepare for out of life. Now, that's generally true. Sometimes there's accidents or sickness or attacks. The devil come out of nowhere. But generally speaking. So this one, what are you prepared for? He traded. That means they had skills. They knew what to do. They knew how to bring increase. Here you go. Write this down. They were wise in their avenue of revenue. Your money's going to come through your avenue of revenue. Now, we can add avenues of revenue, and we'll teach you that tonight and tomorrow night, how to do that. But your avenue of revenue. God needed the Red Sea split. So he told Moses, stretch forth your staff and take a step forward. Well, he was a shepherd. He stretched forth his staff millions of times in his life. Peter needed to pay his taxes. He said, go fishing. See, folks looking, well, I'm a carpenter, but I know God's going to give me a new idea on how to build a nuclear reactor. No, he's not. God's not going to give me a new idea on how to do open heart surgery. Because open heart surgery is a knowledge level up here, and my knowledge level of medicine is down here. So I have to learn all this level to understand what he just showed me. Isn't that right? But he can speak to me about commodities. He can speak to me about real estate. That's at this level. I go, okay, I got it. Thank you. Do you understand? So if whatever your avenue of revenue, that's whatever your career of endeavor you've chosen that you can build to go to the next level. Now, you can add new ones, change, get equipped, especially in this country, there's opportunity. Are y'all with me on this? So what's your skills? They gained sufficient ability to get the job done. The other one buried it. Hopefully I'll get to that, why he did that. And then the Bible says, after a long time, the master comes back for a settling of accounts. That tells me that even though I mess up, that God will give me a long time to get it right. But it also tells me that sooner or later there is going to be a settling of accounts. Oh, we don't like that, brother. That's judgment. No, that's Bible. We're all going to stand before God for every area of our life. And you're going to say, what did you do? God, what did you do with that great wife that I gave you and the great family I let you have? Did you mentor them? Did you train them? Did you do the right things? Did you love them like Christ loved the church? What did you do? What did you do with the financial opportunity I gave you? An opportunity called being in America. Oh, brother, there ain't no opportunity here. You got to change your thinking, man. There's only 20 industrialized nations of the world, and the Christians of these 20 nations, and America's the number one, has a responsibility before God Almighty to get on top of our finances so we can fund the gospel around the world. I don't like my job. Open the plain dealer. There's a ton of them today. Now, we do a lot of work. My wife's from Nicaragua. We do a lot of work in Nicaragua. We go into the trash dump. We take the kids out every morning. Our staff down there does. We take them out of the trash dump, and we take them to private Christian school so they can elevate their life. Now, why do folks live in the trash dump? Because they're stupid and lazy? Not at all. They're smart and hardworking. The reason they live in the trash dump is because the economy is messed up. After a civil war, communist government, all kinds of messed up stuff. So there's 60% unemployment, 60. Folks come into the city looking for work, no jobs. So they got to eat. They go to the trash dump. They look through the trash to get plastic, paper, bottles they can recycle. No place to live. They build their houses there. Fortunately, it's warm. It doesn't get cold. So at least they could survive. Not lazy, hardworking folks. No opportunity. No opportunity. It's coming. It's a good place to invest for the long run. But we have opportunity in America to make some things happen. But we got to get over our excuses and get into the purpose of God. Is this all right this morning? Well, brother, I just came for the love of God. God loves you. That's why he wants you to have more money. Because all things being equal, life is better with more money. A great marriage with money is better than a great marriage and no money. Is that right? Great health with money is better than great health and no money. Great relationship with your kids with money is better than a great relationship kids without any money. Isn't that right? Oh, here you go. Now you're going, some of you are going to think I'm going to hell on this one. But listen to this. A great relationship with Jesus and money is better than a great relationship with Jesus and no money. Why? Because you can do more. You can pray better. You don't have to say, God, help me pay my car bill this month. You can say, God, whose car bill can I pay? That's a lot more fun. See, when we pray, if you don't have a car and you're bleeding for a car, skip that part. Go right to the second one. Say, Father, thank you that one day I'll be able to give a car away. Thank you. I thank you in advance, God, that I'm going to give a car away one day. Come on, you think God's going to go, oh, they're not believing for a car. Yes, they are. They believe for two. But they're going to have that Philippians 2 faith that says that Jesus laid down his life so that others. Man, you need a house that starts like, Jesus, I thank you that one day I'm going to go walk up to somebody in church and say, what's your mortgage this month? I just want to pay it. Thank you. Isn't that more fun than believing every month for the rent? But you got to build your capacity. We're going to teach it tonight and tomorrow night. Let's go on with this. So immediately he went, but the one buried it. There will be a settling of account. This also tells me now, what happens is, this is the great part. It's all great. He says, verse 21 and 23, because I'm going to get to some key points. The guy with 5 talents comes back and says, got the job done, I got 10. Or, I had 80 years of wages, I'm giving you back 160 years of wages. The other guy said, here's my 2 talents, here's 4. In other words, I had 32 years of wages, I'm giving you back 64 years of wages. Jesus says the same thing to both of them. Verse 21 and 23 are the same verse. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Next verse, please. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What does this scripture tell me? Things I got to get in my attitude that Jesus loves increase. God is not religious. He believes that money for trusted servants is a good thing. He says, well done, good and faithful. He's like high-fiving these guys. You all with me? He's like chest bumping if they still do that. The kids still do that or whatever they do. He's woof, woof, woof. He's dog pounding the guys. You all with me on this? Jesus is pumped because they brought increase. It's right in the Bible. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. And you read that out. That's like an explanation, an exclamation of really being happy, of excited, of encouragement. Yeah, well done. You did good. And he says the same thing. He says same thing to the guy with 5 talents who made it 10 as the same guy who had 32 years who made it 64 years of wages. He says, well done. What does that tell me? It tells me that God, wherever you're starting from and you bring increase into your life, God's with you. Wherever you're at, you make a decision this morning, tonight, Monday night, to become a financial champion. That's what we call a program, to become a financial champion. God doesn't see you from your financial failures of the past. He only sees you where you want to go. See, God sees you where you want to go and what you want to work on. The world and some church folks, they want to judge your then instead of letting you live in the now. Y'all with me on this? Like, why are you talking about my then? This is my now. And my now, but here's the biggest voice you got to listen. You got to listen to your own voice because your own voice wants to keep bringing you back to your then. We're talking about being financial champions, investing Sunday night and Monday night. And there's a voice in some folks' head saying, I'm not doing it. It's never going to happen. I don't believe it'll work. You got to shut that voice down and say, today's a new day. Well, Brother Bob, if this is a 1 talent, 2 talent, a 5 talent, I'd be about a minus 9 talent. How many? Don't raise your hand. There's some folks feel that way. Isn't that right? That's all right. God specializes in folks like that. See, that's all right. Nobody's judging where you are, but we will judge the attitude of wanting to stay there. All right, you messed up. You got to take responsibility for that. But the reality of life is our society isn't training people. They just go through school and they kick the kids out after high school. And now credit cards are coming. Do you know I read this amazing stat? The credit card industry sends out 3 billion, with a B, 3 billion invitations for credit cards every year. So we have to have the discipline not to accept them. It's not their fault. They're doing their own. That's what they're supposed to do. They're marketing. See, so you made those mistakes. The problem with money is You got to learn it. Otherwise, you've got to make decisions about money every day. And you haven't been trained. So we're going to train you. Okay? Like, I don't have to learn how to fix my car. Thank God. I'd be walking everywhere. I mean, mechanics to me are like right up there with brain surgeons. Y'all with me on this? Be like, if I was at a party, I met a brain surgeon mechanic. I said, hey, how you doing, doc? Hey, man, talk to me. You really smart. Are y'all with me? See, but I don't have to because there's folks that will do it for me. But you need to learn how to do things with money because that's you'll have a better life and your children have a better life. So Jesus is excited. He says, man, well done. Boom. The other guy, well done. Boom. So that tells me Jesus loves increase. He's not religious. He's not against money. He's all for money, for his servants, to build the kingdom of God. It's right in there. It also tells me that we need to think like Jesus thinks. Jesus doesn't think small like the church. He thinks big. He says to this guy who brings him 160 years of wages, that's a lot of money. Most folks work 40 years in their life, so that's four lifetime of wages. He says, well done. You've been faithful over little. You've been faithful over little. You did good, man. With 160 years wages, a four lifetime of wages. You did good with that little. Now, let me show you what more is. Woo, that should stretch your thinking. Business people, stretch your thinking. Well, I don't think a Christian should make too much. If you really love God, what does that have to do with it? You're going to work 40 to 50 hours a week anyway. You might as well get as much as you can during that time. I don't understand that. Well, you shouldn't want to make too much. You're going to go to work 40, 50 hours a week anyway. So why not get paid as much as you can? It gets weird when we come to church. As if making more during those 50 hours a week is going to affect your love of God. There's a lot of poor folks who don't love God. Not a lot of rich folks that do. Money has nothing to do. I'm going to have a great relationship with God and a lot of money. Oh, no, but you can have a great relationship with God or a lot of money. You can have both. Why not? In fact, I didn't start making a lot of money till I had a great relationship with God. And neither did Solomon, either did David. So let's go on with this. So God loves increase. He doesn't mind us, the people with a servant's heart that know that the money is used to feed the poor, to help the thirsty, clothe the naked, set free those that are in prison. Now, the other guy, he buried it. He comes up with his excuses. He says, man, I buried it. Oh, I don't need my glasses. Just put it up there. All right. Verse 24 and 25. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. See, wrong perception of God. I know you to be a hard man. Religion. I know you don't want an increase. I know you to be a difficult God. I know you to be an angry God. If I do something wrong, you're going to get at me. So what did folks do? They buried their talent. Another excuse. Reaping where you have not sown. Doesn't believe in prosperity. God says, if you do things right, are you his servant and give and build the capacity. There's a scripture that says you will reap where you have not sown. God sees that as prosperous. Religious folks don't like it. God says that's just prosperity. Come on, keep going. And gather where you have not scattered seed. So I buried my talent. I was afraid. He's proud of it. I hid your talent. Look, here, you can have it back. I give it back to you. Made excuses. What did the master say? Keep going. But his Lord answered, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown. And Luke, it talks about a similar story. He says, I'll judge you according to your words. And gather where I have not seed. So now listen to this. He says, at least you should have baby knowledge with money. You should at least put it in the bank and get me some interest. At least put it in the bank and get me some interest. I would have received some interest. See, God's looking for multiplication, but you got to start with addition. He said, at least you should have got me some addition. Putting it in the bank doesn't really multiply the money. It just adds to it. You add some interest. But he wants us to be trained so we can invest and work in the marketplace and multiply our money. He said, go into the world and multiply. He didn't say go in the world and add. He said, go multiply, be fruitful. Are you catching this? So that's what we're going to help you do that. So let's keep going. Oh, he took the, stay right there, and he took the talent from him. So real quick, what are some of the attitudes? This guy gives me some attitudes that I need to get rid of. One is being afraid. A lot of folks are afraid in their money. I think a lot of folks give more in fear than in faith sometimes. We need to give in faith. I got rid of Armageddon financial planning 20 years ago. When I first got saved, everybody's talking about Jesus' second coming. So I'm trying to do financial planning for folks that are going to be 65, 40 years from now. Folks are Christians say, I'm not going to plan. Jesus coming back. I saw it on TV. He coming back. Well, he said to do business until I come. And everybody always thinks they're coming back. For a lot of reasons. Well, he is coming back. But everybody thinks he's coming back in their generation. You listen to Amy Simple McPherson. I got some of her radio programs. They thought they were coming back. Hitler's the Antichrist. Now this guy's the Antichrist. Who cares? Let him move next door. I'll stick my dog on him. I'm not afraid of him. Y'all with me on this? Come on. Why are we going to be afraid of somebody who works for an unemployed angel? Y'all with me on this? Who's the Antichrist? Who cares? If he's stupid enough to work for the devil, why are you afraid of him? I'm living my life. Now, Jesus might come back. Good. Now, I want him to come back. I got some money in the bank. I'm writing big checks to feed kids in the dump. I'm sowing great seeds into my local church. All right. He took it from him. So what does this tell me? That God hates our excuses. Oh. God hates excuses. He's not happy. He calls them wicked and lazy. It's the same word or the same root word where Jesus said in Revelations, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Wicked excuses. Oh, little old me. I don't have much talent. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I thought you'd be evil and mean. Tells me God didn't buy our excuses then. He don't buy them now. We build monument to our excuses. We all got them. Isn't that right? Now, are they somewhat legitimate? Could be. But Jesus doesn't buy them. Well, I didn't get the love I needed when I was a kid. Well, who did? Maybe Pastor Kyneton's kids. Those guys are so loving, it just overflows on you, all right? But who did? And Jesus didn't get it either. Maybe from Mary and Joseph, I don't know. But his dad died when he was young, history tells us, and his brother thought he was crazy. So who did? So Jesus doesn't buy our excuses. Whatever, I didn't get the right education, this, that. You all with me on this? So, but he expects us to identify our excuses. So here's my excuse. And then eradicate those excuses. See, that's what faith is for. Pushing through our flesh. Pushing through our wounded soul to go take new territories. By faith, it hurts, but I'm going to go get some new wisdom. By faith, I'm a fearful person. By faith, I'm usually fearful, but I'm going to step out of my finances and actually believe. I'm going to go home and make a plan. By faith, I'm going to go get some CDs and renew my mind. And then God has some faith to work with. And then he could go, ooh, I can work with you. But he takes it from him. Now we got 10, 4, and 1. And he says, let's take it from the guy who had 1 and give it to the guy with 11. Man, I don't know about you, but I would give it at least to the guy with 4 because it would be 10 and 5. And that's symmetrical. 2 times 5 is 10. 11, 4 is a little off. Y'all with me? He's forced to take it. He's forced to take it from the guy. Why? Because Jesus hates wasted opportunity. He expects us to make something of this gift called life. To take advantage, to build the kingdom of God in our life and the kingdom of God of others. Big boy, big girl Christianity. Jesus is result-oriented. He's interested in conquering the whole world with his kingdom. Yes. He's interested. He's very result-oriented, Jesus. Well, Jesus don't care about buildings. He's just in the people. You ever hear that stupid one? Well, we're going to have a building fund. Well, Pastor, God's not in the buildings. He's in the people. That's right. But people are in the buildings. Why if next Sunday you come and we get rid of all these nice chairs and they bring back them old metal things? Y'all with me on the... You know, the old brown metal ones. Y'all know the silver ones. You would not be into it so much, would you? We preach in Hawaii. Great place to preach. The church invited us to preach in Hawaii on our anniversary. Maria and I prayed about it for about a second. Yeah, that's Jesus. Let's go. Happy anniversary. See, but we preach in the church, they have no walls. It's not the church without walls. They really don't have walls. They just have pillars, and the roof goes out to block the rain, but there's no walls. Why? It's Hawaii. Today's nice, followed by nice, next day nice, the next day nice. See, so you can't, but you can't build that church in Ohio because folks aren't coming. Well, if they love Jesus, they come. Well, that's the whole idea. They don't love Jesus. We got to get them in here to teach them how to love Jesus. He's forced to take action. Jesus takes it from him. He hates waste opportunity. And you only go around once. You might as well grab all the Jesus you can. You only go. Well, I'll save that tonight. Tonight I'll teach you three things that last beyond your lifetime. He does not accept excuses. He gave the guy a long time. Here's a question. That seems kind of mean to me that he would just take it and from him. Doesn't that seem a little mean? But here's the thing. The master gave him a long time. He gave him a long time. What was this guy doing all that time? He went and buried it the first day. What was he doing when the other servants were out getting new wisdom, pursuing knowledge, stepping out in faith, trying to do business deals, making a half a talent there, maybe losing a talent here, making three talents here, trading, getting skills, going out into the marketplace. Come on, thinking at night. What should we do? Getting on the internet, pursuing wisdom in their field. Come on, somebody. Listening to pastor's tapes, listening to my tapes, building their knowledge, building their capacity. While the other guys were out sweating, making things happen, taking the kingdom by force, this guy was sitting down. Hanging out with his other buddies or making excuses why I can't get done. Tells me God's not into that. God's not into it at all. And then it says he took it from the guy with one and gave it to the wife with ten. In Luke, they all yell, but Lord, he already has ten. But the Lord says in this scripture here, but he, to whom who has, if you have that one, I'll begin to close right there. But to him who has, wherever that is. Verse 29. For everyone who has. Verse 29, please. Oh, these guys are great. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. To everyone who has, comma. You see that comma? Has what? Go back to the beginning. The ability. Each according. More will be given. In the world, they say the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Why? Because the rich will make decisions that create better decisions. The reason folks have money sometimes it's because they've made right decisions. The reason folks don't have money sometimes is because they've made bad decisions. Because they haven't had the knowledge. They haven't pursued the knowledge. Isn't this right? Tim, they will be taken. So there's your wealth transfer. You got everybody, a lot of folks in the church believing for the wealth transfer. Here's the wealth transfer. Folks that don't know how to handle it, God going to take it and give it to the folks who do know how to handle it. We got a bunch of folks that don't want to change, don't want to learn, just want to pray in tongue and expect God to pour out money on them. And God said, no. God's not going to take it from hardworking people, even if they're heathens, who built their business and give it to a bunch of Christians who can't balance their checkbook, don't plan. Come on, don't tithe all the time just because they believe in for it. Because they're not in agreement with the word. Does this make some sense? It's a wake-up call. Because I'm sick and tired of the church being broke. Now, five people are happy. The rest of you are happy you're broke. All right, I'm trying to get out of here. So how do I get this victory? Come on. We build our capacity. We get new wisdom. We get new knowledge. Sad fact of life is 80% of people, after they graduate from whatever their level of education is, either high school or college, 80% of the people will never, ever read a book, a nonfiction book, or listen to a CD on educational type materials. 80%. Think of that. They're not going to listen to some stuff, read books on finances, read books or listen to CDs on finances or marriage. You're going to stop. So your education stops at 20. You want to live the rest of your life on what you know at 20? The Bible says my people what? Perish for lack of anointing, faith, believing, love. No, knowledge. My people perish for the lack of right knowledge. My people don't get into the destiny, don't go seize the kingdom of heaven and its promises. Why? Because they eaten from the wrong tree of knowledge. They listen to CNN, constantly negative news, instead of believing on the word of God. They're not pursuing wisdom. Why is it that church, that Christian bookstores usually close? There's only a few. There's one here in Ohio that's still open after a few years. I've seen one in Texas and one in California. And most Christian bookstores don't make it. The only ones that make it are the ones connected to a church. And that's because the church subsidizes it. Why? Because the Christians not subduing or not pursuing the wisdom. Barnes & Noble, every town I go to, a new one. B. Dalton, new one. Come on, Walmart knocking down more rows, putting more books in. Why? The world pursues knowledge because they know it's a source. Learners are earners. Everybody say learners are earners. They say if you read one book a month in your field of endeavor, your avenue of revenue, carpenter, lawyer, computer programmer, whatever it is, one book a month, that's not that much. For 10 years, within at the end of that 10 years, you should be in the top 5 or 10% of your field. So same thing's true about finances in God's kingdom. Let's build our capacity so that God could pour out what he wants to pour out. You know something special is happening at this church. You can feel it. I feel when I landed. Praying. I like to pray when I'm landing. God, what are you doing here? And he's doing something special. I want to be ready for it. I want you to be ready for it. So when God says, okay, here's your 5 talents. And see, a lot of times God wants you to do it so that you build the capacity so that when the opportunity comes, you can seize it. He has businesses that are going to be good ideas. But if you don't build the natural capacity, he can't give you that idea for that business because you won't know what to do with it. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully. There's ideas for businesses. He couldn't give me an idea for a restaurant. I know how to eat. If God gave me a great idea for a restaurant, I'd call one of my best friends, Steve, who has a catering business in L.A. in Beverly Hills. And Steve said, this is an idea I think the Lord gave me. Does this make any sense? Oh, it's from the Lord. It'll make sense. Or how would you do this? I don't know. I don't know how to order produce so it doesn't rot. Does anybody know how to do that? I don't know. Okay? But I would think that it has a lot to do with your profit, whether you waste food or not. Doesn't that make sense? I don't know how to do that. I would read about it. I'd get on the internet. I'd study it. Isn't that right? See, so let's be those people that when God looks down from heaven, he's seeing a church in Ohio and saying, man, I got some 1, 2, and 5 talent folks. They'd be getting rid of their excuses. Oh, Lord, I would have came Sunday night, but orange and brown, baby. If you want to get me blessed, God, if you want to get me new wisdom, don't come during football season. Especially when I can watch 2-0-3 teams play. Well, if the Lord really wanted me to get the knowledge, he'd just give it to me. He wouldn't put it down in the game. Oh, maybe he's saying big boy Christianity. What's more important? I mean, God bless. If it was an Eagles game, I would say, ew, that's a tough one, Bob. I understand, man, you work hard. This is my 3 hours. I get away from all the hassles. I yell at the screen. I get with my buddies I grew up. We got a little mini dog pen and we have fun. I can understand all that. You asking me to give that up? Yeah, I am. For your destiny. Because they're going to win or lose the game whether you watch or not. And you can tape the game. Yeah, but I get with my homies and my buddies and whatever you call your friends. And what are they going to think? Who cares? Where are they at 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and you can't sleep because you're worried about your money? Or maybe you can use this to learn how to get your money turned around so you can go back and win them to Jesus. We need to be fishers of men, one of the greatest baits ever. And I'm not a fisher person. I fish when I go to Alaska, and that's it. But I understand you use different bait for different fish. And money's a good bait. So if we can get our money turned around in church and say, man, I learned this out of the Bible. I learned this. You got to come to my church. I don't know everything they say, but they're teaching me about money, and I'm learning some stuff. I'm getting my stuff turned around. So I ask you to come tonight, tomorrow night. Let's step up. Let's make things happen. I'm going to take 4 minutes, and then I'm going to pray for you, and pastor's going to come. Can I have 4 minutes of your time to help you? Did you guys get something out of that this morning? Hey, I forgot to tell you this. The reason Jesus took the talent was because the other verses, because increase was for the purpose of bringing, feeding the poor, clothing the people, helping people. That's why. I said, man, why'd you get so mad? Then I read the rest of it. Because there's no increase in the house to go do these things we need to do. Y'all with me about it? So I'm going to help you do this. And that'll be good. All right, listen, I got a book back there. It just got printed for a fourth time, a new cover. And this is the first, I just saw them this morning. They got shipped here. These are hot. Ooh, money, 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 money. Oh, with me on this. But If you got the book last time, this is just the fourth edition, so you don't need to get it. But I'm going to be using this book tonight and tomorrow night. Invest in yourself. Go get it. Read it this afternoon. Get some ideas. It's only $15. We give you over 200 scriptures. It's part of what I call the Financial Champions six-pack. God told me to take the knowledge from the boardroom, from the Wall Street stuff I was doing, and bring it into the church. Because the world has just taken God's principles and are getting all the money. So God said, start a program because my people are messed up in money because they're not thinking right. They believe I want them to prosper, but they're not going out and making it happen. I want you to teach them how to go make it happen. It's not a popular message. 5 years ago, folks told me I didn't have any faith because I was telling folks, you got to go make yourself prosperous. But thank God for Joshua 1, 8, and 9. Y'all with me on this? All right, so there's a CD series that goes with it. It's $50 for 5 CDs, and we'll give you the book for free if you get this. I want you to get this stuff. This stuff will build you up. People say, where do I start my money? This is the place to start. A lot of folks are overwhelmed in money. Where do I start? There's so many articles, so much stuff. Man, I don't even know how to start. This is where you start. In Luke 14, Jesus said, before you build a house, get some plans. Go through the 7 simple choices you got to make every day. Every choice is 4 letters or less. Invest in yourself. This is only $50. We give you the new book because we want you to have it. What else do we have back there? We have getting out of debt, sending your debt to hell. If you've got credit card debt, go spend the $30 to get these 3 CDs. We had a couple in Winnipeg, Canada, biggest church in Canada, $62,000 in debt, not counting their house. They got a hold of this teaching. They kept tithing. They were tithers already, gave more. And in 2.5 years, they wiped out their $62,000 and are starting to buy houses. And they said a big part of it was this CD series. So go back and invest on it. It's only $30. And I think we give you the book on that one too. And then there's a few other things back there. We have a 6-pack of champions. You get the book, these 2 CD series, and 3 other things to help you dream big and go possess it. Go buy a 6-pack. Say, come to my church. They're selling 6-packs. You know, I do business conferences. Last 2 things. I do business conferences, and business people, secular business people, come back to the book table with their checkbooks open, saying, how much for everything? I said, well, you get the whole table, 12 items, $249. That's it? Only $249? I said, well, give me $549. Who cares? They go, man, that's cheap, man, to get all that wisdom. Right? They pursue knowledge. Church folks, come, hand over my pastor, come back with $10 wrinkled up. Y'all with me on this? What's the one thing I can buy to get everything on the table? Now keep your $10 because you can't get it. If that's all you have, that's fine. We'll help you get some things. But you understand what I'm saying. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure goes. You sow your seed. You're pursuing the new wisdom. We got a bunch of other stuff. The last 2 I'll talk about is make your own breakthrough. 3 hours on just teaching you how to make your own breakthrough. God gets more glory. Well, God gets glory out of him doing the breakthrough, but I think he's called us to go get the breakthrough, to kill our giants, to go take new territories. So this is a great teaching on make your own breakthrough. Who needs to got a big breakthrough they need to get right here? All right, that lady was first. I don't want to throw it because I retired. And then the last one is mindsets that control money. The number one difference between folks that are controlled by their money, which is most folks, and people that control money is the way they think. So I've been studying this for 20 years, so I think I put 15 to 20 mindsets, little simple things. Like people that control money see money as something to invest, to save. People who are controlled by money see money as something to spend. I want to get it so I can spend it. Well, you're going to be controlled by your money. I need the people who control money see money as an annoyance. Oh, okay, I got to pay for the house, got to buy clothes, got to buy groceries, got to pay for the car. But how can I get it to where I can save some money so I can go invest it and multiply it? So go back there. There's 14 other good ones back there. And then finally, you're here. Everybody look at me. You're here and you're saying, who is this God? If you're a visitor for the first time, I want to ask you to come back next week. Pastor's a lot nicer than I am. But you're here and you're saying, man, who's Jesus? And you heard the phrase being born again. Born again doesn't mean you join a church. What it means is when you're born, God puts a purpose in you. There's a purpose in you. Your parents might not have known you were coming or didn't even want you to come. But God wanted you to come and he put a purpose in you. And he put a purpose in you. And he put a dream in you. But through life, we make bad decisions. We do wrong things. The Bible calls them sin. And they separate us from our Father. They break the connection, like your computer. It's broken. You can't hear me now. And then Jesus said, God sent an answer to reconnect us back to the Father so we could hear Him. It's called the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus took the penalty for my sins. He took the penalty for your sins. Come on. And He broke the curse and He reconnected us to the Father. So you're here and you never really made Jesus Lord of your life. You heard about Him, you've been to church, but you know that if something would happen tonight, that you would not go to be with heaven with God. We're going to give you a chance to receive Jesus. Everybody close their eyes. You're here and you're saying, that's me, Bob. I need to know this God. The God who wants me to handle 160 years of wages. But God, Bob, I feel like I've got 160 years of sin. Will He forgive me? Yes, He will. Every sin that you committed, somebody that's a church member here, including myself, has done that sin. And Jesus has forgiven us. He is so tenacious after your sin. And His love is so deep. They just want you to reconnect to it today, right now. So you're here and you never received Jesus, but you want to do it. I'm going to give you the opportunity in about 10 seconds. All I want you to do is raise your hand. I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not going to make you talk. I just want you to acknowledge that. Say, yeah, that's me, Bob. And I'm just going to pray over you. If that's you, just slip your hand up right now. Nobody's watching but me. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. All over the place. Thank you, sir. Come on. Thank you, man. All over the place. Thank you, ushers. Yeah, more in the back. More in the back. Yeah, a lot of guys. I like it. Woo! Get some more men into the kingdom of God. Get some women. You know, the Bible says that men go to heaven first. The reason I know that is because it says there is a half hour of silence in heaven. How many folks know women deserve to go first because they got to put up with us? But everybody repeat this prayer. Everybody say, Father, I thank You for Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. The only Son of God. I believe He's the only way to heaven. Not one of many ways, but the only way. And I confess that I'm a sinner. God, that's easy. You know I did things wrong. I know I did things wrong. But I thank You, God, that even before I was born, before I sinned, You had a remedy for my sin. Jesus was waiting with open arms for me. So I confess that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, I ask You to come into my life, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for giving me a purpose. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live for You and glorify You. Amen. Pastor's going to come out. Yeah, give God a hand. All right. Marie and I will be back at the book table. Pastor's going to come up, give you a chance to sew, I believe. And if you could just stretch. We're doing a lot of work in Nicaragua. And one of the cool things about the church is you never have to leave beautiful Ohio and you can feed some kids in the trash dump. How many folks think that's a good idea? So if you stretch, one of the things champions do is they look to give and so. No, you know all that. But thank you for your time. And 6 o'clock tonight, we'll get you out at a reasonable time. Get you out by 8 at the latest. And then tomorrow night, invest in your future. You reap what you sow. Invest this time into your future. But not just for you, but for your children and your children's children. So that you can teach them the things you're going to learn tonight. God told me I'd have a 100-year ministry. I'm not going to live 100 years more. I will live to 100, but not 100 years more. But I believe what you learn tonight and tomorrow night, you can pass on to your children so that 100 years from now, your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, will be at another level financially so they can be doing great things. These are serious times, but fun times. We'll see you tonight. Thank you for your time.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org, or you may call us at 440-960-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His Word be alive in your life.